Our thanks go to Hartbury University and College, Harper Adams University, NFU Mutual, Thring Solicitors, DataTag, and Nugent Engineering for supporting Series 2 of Keeping on Track. Hi, I'm Adam Henson. Welcome to the second series of Keeping on Track, a podcast series made by the farming community for the farming community. In this programme, we're talking to Becca Wilson. She has her own podcast, as we'll find out. We wanted to get her view on the challenges facing the farming community and find out whether it makes any difference being a female.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. So, Becca Wilson is 28. She's a fifth-generation farmer in North Yorkshire, mixed arable and sheep. And that's the first thing we asked her about. How is it being a woman in a still male-dominated industry? Are there things she can't do? Things she's better at?
I think being a female in agriculture is unique compared to pretty much any other sector across the country. For me personally, the farm's actually been handed down on my mother's side. So there's definitely always been a female influence there, which I think I'm pretty lucky to have because not everybody has that. What that means for me is that when people come to the farm, it's not unusual for them to see a woman who might be, unloading a wagon or, you know, actually getting stuck in with the manual jobs or driving a big tractor. So I think I've had that lucky upbringing. But it doesn't mean that some prejudices and stereotypes don't exist. But I think for me, the main thing is to show that hard work and ability and determination will get you to where you want to be. And I hope that incidents of the prejudices and stereotypes are becoming more and more isolated, as I hope people like me become role models and showcasing that you can be a woman in farming and do a good job of it, but you can go out and dress up if you want as well when you're not working. I think we need more and more people where they're showing that females in agriculture can be the norm and we can be as successful as our male counterparts. As soon as we recognise what our strengths are, some of them are governed by being male or female, some of them are governed by personality or attitude, and we can direct our efforts into the jobs that we're really, really good at. And I think on the farm here, we have a good kind of sense and attitude of delegation. And there's some jobs which sometimes I'm not as tall as my dad for example, you know, and that's a simple fact. And it's really important to recognise where your areas of strength lie and direct your efforts in those areas.
So Becca's a fifth generation family farmer, but she hasn't been on the farm all her life. She did a degree at Cambridge University, then a master's at the Royal Agricultural University. And she thinks that time away and the academic route has been a big help in understanding the challenges of farming. Although, when she got back to the farm, she did find the theory didn't always match the reality.
One thing for me which has been an eye-opener coming back into the farming business probably around 3 years ago is it's very different to just carting a bit of corn in your summer holidays. The financial elements to running a farming business are crazy, really, because I did study at the Royal Agricultural University and you learn that very theoretical side of farm business management, accounts, cash flow. But ultimately, when you get into the real world of farming, you can't predict your cash flow, you can't predict the grain price, you can't predict what you're going to sell your lambs at market for. So that's been a real eye-opener of actually how on the edge farmers can be living when it comes to month-to-month paying for bills and things like that. And I think for consumers, it can be quite hard to get your head around how on the edge farmers might be living when you see from the outside lovely fields and lambs in the sunshine. There's a lot going on behind that. One thing about farming is that it's almost sold as if you're not very clever, you can go into farming. It's not like that at all. Farmers on the ground, or if you've been to uni or whatever before, are constantly training themselves to adapt with new skills, new regimes on the farm, new processes, you know, whether we're trying to be more environmentally friendly or increase welfare. So I've probably got a bit of a head start with the academic background because it helps me maybe do that processing a bit quicker. But farmers are still doing it on the ground all the time to basically maximise efficiency and get the best out of their farm and their animals.
And there's an added challenge for Becca. Her parents, grandparents and great-great-grandparents all had this farm before her. I hope we'll talk more about this in another programme, but there is an added pressure working on a family farm.
And particularly for me, being the fifth generation on the farm, there's a big sense of responsibility that you don't want to be the generation which mucks things up, to put it bluntly. You want to be the generation who helps do what your parents have done, your grandparents have done. And that does, it's not necessarily just on a farm where you own it. It can be for tenants and even first generation farmers as well. You don't want to be the person who loses what's been worked for before, or, you know, loses the fertility in the land, or, you know, doesn't do very well on the livestock side of things. So it's a very bizarre sense of responsibility. And I think often farmers like myself, you know, 28, you're taking on that feeling earlier than maybe you would in a job where it's, you know, maybe more of an office-based job or a 9-to-5 job, or where you're formally, you know, as an employee there. The responsibility is very bizarre. And I guess the other thing to note, the responsibility isn't aligned with a good work-life balance or, you know, a cracking salary to go along with it. So it's a strange one. There's loads of things I love, and I'll go on to that in a second. But I also am very, very passionate about saying that just because you love your job doesn't mean that we should be working all the hours under the sun for not so much money. Lots of other people love their job and have job security, financial security. So I absolutely do love it, but there's definitely times where I'd like more days off or a bit more money. But in terms of what I love, going outside now to see our lambs absolutely thriving, and yes, that's due to the mothers doing a good job of looking after them, but it's also down to us with the time we've put in at lambing time, the work we do, for example, on the quality of the grass and the feed that we're giving them. So I love to see almost the products of our hard work, particularly on the livestock side. It's a really, really proud moment for me when we take our stock to market. Now, that might feel very strange because obviously that's the end of the road for, you know, for those livestock and those lambs which we've produced. But it is the culmination of all our hard work, and it has mixed emotions, but I'm extremely proud to see what we've created, and mainly to know that we've done it as sustainably as we can and in a really high welfare way as well.
And as Becca mentioned, and we've talked about in other programmes, if you want to do that, the workload can be punishing, especially at busy times of year.
Very dependent on season. In lambing time, I do the 4 a.m. shift. So I'd be up at 4 to check on all the sheep. And then it's really hard to say a time that you finish work in lambing, because it just depends how many sheep are busy lambing. But I'd often switch out with my mum, and she's a bit of a night owl. So she likes doing the late shift with the sheep. In harvest, it can be very late, until as late as we can go, really, combining and the dew drops in. So we could be working until, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Day to day, though, and I think this is something that I think is really important, we shouldn't overstate what we're doing to be competitive with another farmer down the road or somebody you see on social media. Having sheep and arable means that our work does go in peaks and troughs. So in the day to day normal kind of farming calendar, I'd probably start work at 7 and finish at 6 o'clock. Some days it might be earlier so I can get back for a recording. And I think the element of competition which farmers create among themselves of, oh, well, I haven't had a day off in 20 years, that's actually not a good thing. And I'm very comfortable in sharing on my social media when I have had a day off, or I had a weekend off, or we've split some work and my sister did the sheep today so that I could go off and take the dog on a walk or something. And I think when you weave that into the mental health conversation that we're having a lot in agriculture at the moment, there is a correlation between long working hours and poor mental health. So why are we competing almost in a race to the bottom for our mental health? I think we need to be proud and comfortable saying that we've had a day off, or God forbid, a week off.
And that's another thing we've heard in this series. It never seems like the right time, but it's so important for mental health to make sure you do have a break, time away from the farm, but also to try and find other interests outside of farming, and maybe other people outside of farmers. So how does Becca get away from it all?
That's a really good question, and I think you'd get different answers when it comes to asking a farmer or somebody who works in a different industry. In a different industry, a lot of people would say, oh, well, I go to the gym and it gets my mind going and it releases those endorphins. For me, I don't have anything almost as conscious as that, because if I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in Lamming, I mean, there's no gym open at 3 o'clock around me in the morning to go on the treadmill for an hour or whatever. So I think it's harder for farmers to weave in something as conscious as going to the gym or, you know, maybe doing kind of mindfulness or things like that. It's much harder to weave in. So for me, it's all about surrounding yourself with people you're comfortable speaking to, because I think a lot of farmers could help prevent kind of getting into it, maybe a negative thoughts or mental health spiral, by having that conversation a bit earlier. And I unfortunately see it in some of the messages I receive on Instagram. People are scared to tell their friends, you know, or their family. Sometimes that's a stigma thing, but sometimes they simply don't want to put the burden on other family members who are probably stressed as well. So for me, having people around you who you can chat over an issue before it even really feels big, and then that issue never kind of consumes you. But there are definitely times when things consume you, and unfortunately we had a touch of Schmallenberg at the start of lambing. Well, that feeling of dread of going to the lambing shed almost gave me sleepless nights. For that, it's surrounding yourself with a good vet, for example, who you can talk through concerns with. You can look at preventative measures for next year if they're possible or available. And the vet can also reassure you that you are doing everything you can. So that's a couple of things almost in day-to-day running of the farm and life. But if I get proper time off, I absolutely love, I've got Jack Russell, I love taking him for a walk in the hills and calling in for a pub lunch or a pint on the way home. It for me, it really is as simple as that.
But Becca Wilson has something else to keep her busy, her podcasting.
So the podcast I run is alongside a girl called Lizzie, who's not from a farming background at all. And that dual perspective is pretty much the reason we started out with the podcast. I had questions for Lizzie as a farmer to a consumer, and she had questions for me as a consumer to a farmer. So I didn't really realise, to be honest, how bad we were as farmers at communicating about what we do. And it's understandable that we've been quite closed book because we're worried about people's perceptions. But actually, I've found transparency gets consumers on board, and they actually really love to hear the ins and outs of farm life. And then I guess for Lizzie, she did have some of those misconceptions about what we do on farms or what stuff really means. And we thought there was a bit of a gap in the market to bring those two perspectives together, to bridge the gap between farmer and consumer. And I guess some of the other elements we want to promote are just what British farmers are actually doing for animal welfare or the environment, but also showcase the wide variety of careers which are out there. We actually have a lot of conversations about mental health as well, and it's absolutely fascinating how often mental health comes up as an underlying theme, regardless of what we set out to talk about. You know, we might be talking about a diversification project, but more often than not, we end up venturing into that mental health topic. And I feel very privileged that people feel comfortable to talk about their own mental health stories with us, in the hope that it helps other people who are listening or followers of the podcast.
And you can find those podcasts online by searching Boots and Heels Podcast, hosted by Becca and Lizzie. That's just about it for this programme, but there's one other issue we spoke about with Becca, and that is farm safety, a huge issue in the industry. We'll do a full programme on that, but for now, here are the thoughts of Becca Wilson.
The health and safety record in farming is extremely poor, and I think that's worrying for a young person coming back to work on the family farm. You know, the health and safety procedures in place are nothing really compared to another business or another place of employment. And one of the reasons I think for that is often the employees here are all family. So the structure isn't as formal as other companies. I think ultimately farmers are pushed for time and on the whole quite pushed financially. So the cost, for example, of buying a basket to go on your telehandler to make those jobs up in the air safe. Oh, well, is it worth it? Because I'll only use it a couple of times a year to clean out a gutter. Oh, well, I can't afford that, so I'll just do something when I need to. And I think the costs associated sometimes with being as safe as we can be are prohibitive, and it shouldn't be like that. And there was something going around online about the cost of a PTO guard, which essentially is just a bit of plastic. And the prices for that was astronomical. So I think sometimes we're priced out of those measures, which should just be a given. Ultimately, it's an attitude thing, though. If you have to sacrifice something else to afford that health and safety equipment, then we should be sacrificing that other thing. I think we may be quite good at making excuses in farming to not actually implement all the measures that we need to do. But it's those scenarios where it won't happen to me, I'll just do that quickly, I'll be fine. And that trying to do something quickly is when things can all go wrong. And I think the other point to note is that there are just more risks associated with our job. Big equipment, heavy machinery, livestock, sole working, you know, there's a lot of things which feed into our job, which make it risky. I think we should probably look more at some free and affordable solutions. So, for example, how many farmers have what three words on their phone? I certainly do. So if I was on my own and had an accident, the emergency services would hopefully be able to find me more quickly. Or how many people have a mobile phone? This is maybe more the older generations who haven't grown up with phones and who aren't glued to them like some of my generation, sometimes me included. But, oh, I'll turn it off to save battery. And then when you actually need it, it needs to turn on, it needs to... So I think it's... And they're not contactable. So I think there's some solutions which we can do as farmers, which are free or affordable. And it's a no-brainer to be doing some of them.
As I said, a full programme on safety coming up. But let's end today with Becca's top tips for staying well, physically and mentally.
One thing which is really, really simple is looking after your physical health first. So in lambing, you have to make sure you're eating well. In harvest, you have to make sure you're eating well. And if you have aches and pains or things which are physically painful, there's no shame in going to the doctor to get those physical ailments sorted. Because that has a massive, you know, being in permanent pain, as a lot of farmers think is the norm. Oh yeah, well, I've always had a bad hip. That isn't normal. So we're allowed to go and get those physical things sorted to then actually take a weight off our mind. So that would be my first one. The second thing, as much as it never feels easy to take time off the farm, it is absolutely vital. There's many things that kind of crop up. Oh, well, I'm too busy, or there's no one to look after the farm. Even if you have to pay somebody to come and look after the sheep for a day, which is sometimes what we've done before, it is when we go on holiday as a family, we have somebody here who we pay to come and look after the sheep. And that is money well spent, in my opinion, because you have that peace of mind and you can leave the farm. And I guess my final one would just be find the person who you can talk to. That could be anybody. It might be when you go into your village shop or your pub, the person behind the bar. It might be family, it might be friends, but it might be an agricultural charity or even your doctor as well. I think people worry that, oh, well, I can't tell my mum and dad, or I can't tell my brother, therefore that's it, and they never talk. There are so many outlets for talking, and if you feel like that's such a basic step, that's not going to help. The amount of people who can vouch for the fact that a conversation really, really does take some weight off their mind. And that conversation might help you for a day or two, but it also might be the way that you learn where to go and access more help if needed. You know, that friend might be able to say, well, have you thought about that charity? So I think that's vital as well.
Becca Wilson, 28-year-old farmer and podcaster. So, Adam Henson, one of the things that struck me was Becca's worry about mucking up the family farm. And I think that's quite common, isn't it? The fear of dropping the ball that your family's had for generations.
I think it's a huge amount of pressure. And I took on the tenanted family farm, and I was only second generation, and I felt that pressure. And I remember, you know, foot and mouth year was terrifying for us. We've got a tourist enterprise that my dad set up showcasing rare breeds, and that was really worrying. And then when COVID hit, my business partner and I had borrowed quite a lot of money and invested in the farm park, and I remember doing a little social media video saying, you know, I promised my dad that I would look after his, you know, his farm park and all his rare breeds, and I'm worried that we're going to lose them. And I was crying, and so, you know, I'm simply tenant farmer second generation. But if it's been in your family for five generations, like it has for Becca, and you're the one that it seems to be slipping through your fingers, and you're losing control of the business, and you can't make a profit, and it's getting harder and harder, the weight on your shoulders must be enormous.
And the thing about Becca is that her farm has passed down through the female line, and she's fifth generation female. I wonder what we can say about the attitude towards being a woman in farming now.
Yes, and I think it's changing, thankfully. You know, with the technology in agriculture, you know, it used to be, you know, strong in the arm and thick in the head, farming's for you. And it's not like that anymore. You know, you've got to be bright and innovative, technological. And agricultural colleges and universities have got lots of women who are on the courses now. So it's getting much, much better. But I think there probably is still a little bit of a stigma behind it. And Rebecca is in that fortunate situation that she has that female line, so the reps and the vets and all the people coming onto the farms. Not that I want to make out those particular professions as sexist, but, you know, they have that situation on the farm that people are used to dealing with a woman.
And the other thing, she was very positive about the need to take time off. And although the farming is a hard business and the hours are long, she's keen to say, you've got to take time off.
She's beautifully eloquent, isn't she? And you can see that from, you know, her podcast that she has. And I think that was a very good point made. And often, and I hear it, you know, oh, I haven't had a weekend off for 3 weeks. I've been working, you know, 16 hours a day for, 3 weeks. And like it's some kind of badge of honour. Well, actually, as she quite rightly says, you know, that's a failing. You're letting yourself down. You're letting your family down. And you're not doing yourself any good at all. It may be that you're in a situation you can't seem to get out of doing that, but you've got to take a step back and think, is this really what life's about?
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Keeping on Track. I hope you found things in it that were helpful for you or someone you know. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today or in any other programme, you can find more information about organisations which can provide help and support by going to teamdoctor.org/farmers. Until the next time, keep on track.